gives me tremendous pleasure right now to welcome into studio two wonderful entrepreneurs, and welcome to CEO of Lesco, Jonathan Shapiro.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, you're not the only Jonathan Shapiro, right?
Yeah, not the first time I've heard that.
All right, but we're going to talk about what makes you so very unique. Okay. And a general manager of Lesco, Amir Lofit. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having
us. They look like brothers, don't you think?
Also not the first time we've heard that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do people confuse you all the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, at an engagement recently, they came and said, well done on a whole bunch of things. I had no context and I thought I was Jonathan.
All right. So tell us about Lesco. What does Lesco do?
Okay, so Lesco is a family business. It was started by my dad. Everything he had learned from his dad in a previous business called Switch King. And what we do, we're an electrical manufacturing company based in South Africa. So we're one of the only local manufacturers left. And what we do is we assemble and manufacture adapters, multi-plugs, switches and sockets, all of those products that you would buy from a retail store. And yeah, that's what we do. We have three different assembly plants in South Africa, and part of our business is giving back. So all of the factories that make our products are either homes for disabled, for intellectually disabled people, or unskilled and underprivileged. So it's a very interesting and unique business model.
All right. So let's talk about, firstly, how did you develop this business model?
Okay. So all of that goes to my dad.
Okay.
So my dad started Lesco from our garage at home in around 1999. Everything, all the good and the bad things that he had learned from Switch King and all the problems that business, you know, came with, he kind of wanted to do differently with Lesco. So in Switch King, they had hundreds of workers, different factories situated all over, and they couldn't deal with the labor problems. All the problems that were coming out in South Africa between 94 and 95, actually closed the business down.
Wow.
And going through that whole process, I think what he wanted to do was something completely unique and different. And when he restarted Lesco, he said, I don't want to go to China, and I want to use a different class of labor. So he started to develop.
I'm just loving. Are you feeling the love?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
I'm just checking.
He started to develop all of these products from the ground up that they can be assembled by any class of labor. So he developed the first 2-pin adapter, and he went to this intellectually disabled home and he said to them, guys, I'm going to build this product so that you guys can assemble it. Do you want the work? And they said, absolutely. We need the income. So he developed this, the whole system was developed in a way that there's no machinery in our factories, so no one can get hurt. Every single product that we assemble is done by hand with different hand presses, and there are conveyor belts, and there are different systems to speed it up. 400,000 products a month are made with no electricity in our factory, and 20% of our workforce are intellectually disabled, and the other 80% are based at they live in a township which borders the factory. So they all walk to work, so there's no transport cost either. So there's a township economy that's being stimulated by the work that we give to these guys.
Can I just ask Amir a question?
Yeah, you can, because the question I'm going to ask you is going to throw me out, but go.
No, go. No, you go first.
I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking this sounds so incredibly wonderful, but on the flip side is a very dark, worrying aspect.
Sure.
And that's the exploitation aspect.
Sure.
And I'm sure there are people who are thinking about that. Address that for me.
Sure.
Make me feel better about this.
Absolutely. So everything is above board.
Fair living wages.
Everything. So to answer this question, and I think
fair hours.
It's a very proud moment in our business life. So basically, we were audited by Walmart for responsible and ethical sourcing. And through this NGO that we provide work to, it's the first NGO in South Africa to ever pass. So that was an international audit done by Intertech, the guys from London. They came through.
That's a big deal, hey? For cynics like me, you should open with that.
Yeah, so hopefully you're satisfied with that answer.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
But also the unions come through, we get the labor, the labor.
Whoever.
Yeah, yeah, but your labor consultants.
Sorry, consultants, everything. Sorry. Yeah, they come, they've checked us for the last 20 years we've been doing this.
No, Jonathan, that's awesome. But I mean, you can see where I'm coming from.
Sure.
That there could be unscrupulous business people out there who would be taking absolute and complete
advantage.
He's a very
dark person. He lives in the dark.
Simon. No, so it's a great question, and it's come up because guys do want to know how we do it. So, yeah, so that's hopefully that answers your question.
Okay.
It does.
Amir, I want to direct this to you. What are the challenges that you have working with people who are intellectually disabled?
It's an excellent question. I think the main challenge is really ourselves, and it's internal between the people that aren't mentally disabled or affected by anything, because we learn a fortune from them. So the challenge is really understanding how we go about our lives and adapting it to them, where something seems so normal and basic for us, it's adapting and learning from what they can and can't do. So that's probably the biggest challenge.
Amazing. So have you, what have you actually changed in terms of your layout? Have you changed anything? If you didn't employ people with intellectual disabilities, what would your factory look like?
The same. So how it started was that when this operation started, the work was only given to intellectually disabled, which are the residents that live on the home. So like the Chev, so we give work to the Chev, it's the same principle. The guys that live there, they would, that get bussed in. That was how it started. Then we outgrew their capacity. So what we did then is we started the social outreach program through this home. So they went to the nearest township and they said, guys, the Lesko workshop has work. Who's interested? And we started bringing people in from the workshop. So for the first time that these guys have been able to monitor, they've taken an intellectually disabled group of people and an able-bodied group of people and they're actually working together, where a lot of the time the guys who are intellectually disabled and they have those challenges can't deal with the outside world because of different pressures and different environments and they're not comfortable.
And their own needs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now what we did is we brought outside people in and they're working together.
Wow.
So all of them, when you go to our workshop, you'll see all of them, there are 50, 60 people all working together on the line. And a lot of the time they actually outperform able-bodied labor. So it would look the same. The principle and the concept would remain that there's no machinery, that there's still no electricity, that it's still developed, that you can't get hurt. All of that would remain. We would just, I think, unfortunately lose that part, that essence, but we would never do that.
I love how you can make things work if you have a goal and you want to bring in different elements and you just find a solution. I love this. I love this idea.
I agree. And clearly because they are in operation, they are profitable. And
incredible. So if we go to one of the retailers and we want to buy Lesko products, is it branded Lesko?
Yeah. So
now I want to support your product.
Thank you. So every single product that we make on the mold has got our name on it. Adapters are often not sold in packaging. It's in bulk in a bin. So you wouldn't really see the Lesko brand on a header card, but where we do have, packaging, it's either our brand or it's a dual brand with the retailer. So we've got private label contracts with a lot of the retailers and it'll have a Lesko brand and their brand. But every single product that we make has got our Lesko name on it.
I mean, what are the things that you've learned personally from what you do on a daily basis?
So coming from quite a diverse background, the latest background being innovation, I was always taught and been taught to believe that innovation is to do with technology. It's to do with electricity, it's fourth industrial revolution stuff, and it is, and that's mainstream. But Lesko is so different and so brilliant, A, that it's local and it's ethical and that it's creating employment in the context of Africa, but the innovation is A, the design. David Shapiro, Jonathan's father, was so brilliant in the way he designed the product, which is really something I'm learning and seeing that innovation can come in a product level. But also, innovation now to me is something very different. It means adapting to your current situation. And working in a place like Africa and having a place and a product that doesn't utilize electricity, that's innovation because we're adapting to your environment. So we've gone against
getting
the
job
grain.
Done.
Yeah, we've gone against the grain and we are applying innovation in ways that goes against what the fourth industrial revolution is supposed to be, which is really my learning curve and what I'm really proud to be a part of.
Incredible. Jonathan, have you got any anecdotal stories that you can share with us? The personal stories, you know, the people that you've connected with.
Maybe one of just how it started for myself.
Yeah,
very briefly.
Yeah.
So I'm a remedial kid, ADD, went to remedial school in between King David, took a gap year, which I think all people close to me know how that turned out. And it was a complete disaster.
you don't remember half of it.
I wish I didn't.
Is it like that?
I wish I didn't. No, but my dad, you know, at the end of my gap year said to me, you have to do something. And he put me in the factory. And at 19 in the factory, no university entrance, really just learning how the products were made and then developing this passion for this business that I really had no intention of joining. And as I was learning and I was seeing what everyone was doing, learning the good things and the bad things from people that we had in our business, really quickly developed this passion that I could see why it was, you know, in our business, in our family blood, you know, a third generation. And it taught me a hell of a lot. Very early on about responsibility and how things operate in a business. And yeah, I think the milestone of, from 23, being given the opportunity to take over sales at quite a young age, but really being thrown in the deep end and learning the hard stuff really early on, kind of just, you know, set the path for me going forward. So I'm very grateful, very happy to be working with my dad. Two very different people in terms of personality, so our partnership is great. And
do you have rules? Do you have rules that when we get home, we don't talking business?
So when I used to live at home, we probably should have had that rule. But I think passion follows you everywhere. So when we were home, we were carrying on talking about business, and we brainstormed and we developed. And so not always easy, but I think it's just the way it is. If there's passion, and in our family, that's not, you know, we're not short of passion. So. Yeah, it's
I'm very inspired.
Great.
I think it's pretty
story.
Remarkable.
It's asked the Lord of Darkness.
Okay? I was the one who was
the Lord of Darkness.
Yeah, absolutely the Lord of Darkness. So, just talking about the workforce, what kind of numbers are we talking about?
So, in total, we have 100.
And are they all in Gauteng? Are they all over the country?
So, we have two in the West Rand, Muiderstrips and Krugersdorp. And then last year, when I really got more involved in running the business, I wanted to give something back to the community. So, we went to Kadima, and we opened one assembly line in Kadima. And they make a couple of thousand products a month for us. And we have much bigger plans for the community to build a workshop or to contribute to a workshop that we can move a lot of our production, a lot of our growth to the community. That's what our goal is.
And more. I mean, listening to you, Amir, about the expansion possibilities and where this can go. And it's not a difficult concept to take into areas that require it.
Absolutely. And it's a very simple business model. The more support we get, especially from local businesses, the more we can help employment. Very simple.
Do you know how significant it is what you're doing? I had a meeting earlier today with somebody, and I went and I looked up the stats on NGOs, because NGOs are struggling. The well of funders has just completely dried up, and that's locally and South African. Yeah. In 2015, there were over 500 NGOs that closed down in this country. Wow. 500 NGOs, and the irony is that our needs for NGOs are growing all the time.
Yeah.
You want to fix the world, start in South Africa. Yeah. The need is that massive. And I love that you are able to help fund these NGOs. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Before you guys came in, Kathy and I were having this huge debate about capitalism and whether business had a conscience, and I was saying absolutely not.
Social capitalism, that's the best.
So there you go. And that's what you guys are doing. And
social capitalism.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the way of the future because, you know, unbridled capitalism, which hasn't got us to a very good place, says the Lord of Darkness.
Thanks, Lord of Darkness. All right. We're going to wrap it up. Thank you very, very much. And
good
really
luck with everything.
Onward and upward.
Thank you so much for having us.
All
thank you.
Good things. That's Jonathan Shapiro and Amir Loffert. They are from a company called Lesco. And the next time you go to Builder's Warehouse, to any of these places that you're going to buy your electronics and your switches and all these little components.